she won't let you get any close.
Okay, American Dream. I hope it still exists. Let's hope it doesn't turn into American Nightmare here in the next few years. Coming up just a little over 10 days away from I-Day, Disaster Day. So, all right. I got to get going here, jumping my little steel pony and head down to the White Eagle Lodge on the shores of beautiful Minnehaha Creek. It's really pretty down there now with the snowfall that we've had here, but not too hard to walk because there wasn't much accumulation. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. Keep making that good medicine. Tell stories, sing songs, dance, enjoy each other's company, share a meal, make coffee and tea, and sit and talk and tell stories together, laugh, hold each other's hands, and give each other a hug if that's appropriate. That's how we make good medicine. That's how we heal, and we're going to need it. So, all right. I'll see y'all later. Oh, we're going to take a big trip down to Madison this weekend and pick up a new member of our family. I'll tell you all about that next week. Listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFEI 90.3 FM HD1 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming around the globe at KFEI.org. We are non-commercial community powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFEI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFEI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. It is currently 21 degrees here in the Twin Cities. Time for Native Roots Radio, the best of, with Robert Pilot.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut anything.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. I've never had problems with that sentence. Is this live? Can we do it again? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, so we discuss Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
You know, been doing the show, this is our ninth season. January, the first Saturday of January was when we started Native Roots Radio back in the day, 8 years ago, and we're in our ninth season. And you would think that I'd become maybe a better reader or enunciator or talker, but I think I've plateaued, you know, years ago.
Oh, well, that's what happens when you get into your elder years and you start getting grandkids. Yeah. No. You do great.
Oh, there you go. You deserve a raise next year.
Everyone heard that.
Hey, we got a lot going on here this weekend. Some major things with our relatives in Wisconsin, Haley, and maybe you can give a shout out to our friend Doug and talk about what's going on in Madison this weekend.
I would love to. Yeah, it's always important when we are able to share things going on in Wisconsin. As we know, well, you and I are Ho-Chunk and we live in Minnesota. So this is something our friend Doug Hewer let me know about, the Building Unity Conference this weekend, January 11th through the 12th in Madison, Wisconsin. The Cross-Border Organizing Working Group will participate in a panel discussion and breakout on environmental justice. You can sign up for this two-day conference at buildingunitywisconsin.org. The Cross-Border Organizing Group, also known as CBOWG, will also be visiting the site near Cambridge, Wisconsin. We talked about this a little on the show earlier, where 70,000 gallons of Enbridge Line 6 oil spilled in early November, and we just heard about it, I don't know, before the winter break. But the Wisconsin DNR was notified of the spill on November 11th and the 14th. The DNR approved permits for the reroute of the Line 5 pipeline around Bad River. So on Monday, January 13th, that cross-border organizing group will hold an action at the Wisconsin DNR to show a disapproval of their Line 5 permitting. A press release will also be forthcoming with the details about that and the DNR action in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about the DNR. My goodness, we've had issues here with Line 3 in Minnesota with the DNR. The DNR in does not seem to be our friend, and that's really disappointing. Every time I read something about this, that the DNR passes things that really are not really good values to it, you know, core values. And you know, we all know pipelines leak no matter what. There's a big history of it, and 70,000 gallons, my goodness.
Which was sad. Like originally reported as just like 2 gallons spilled, and then it was going up and up. And I guess, you know, Enbridge isn't, you know, responsible, or, you know, they don't have to put out a statement when things like that happen, which I don't really understand why.
Yeah. And, you know, just with the way things are going here too, this is a good thing to do, and to be around like-minded people in Madison this coming weekend. So it's really important. People listening to this, tell their friends and make sure they go out there. But thanks, Doug, for reaching out to us. And it's an important thing that we need to bring out. And I'm glad we can. And, you know, we jokingly talk about this is our 9th year. Just want to remind everyone the reason why we started this show 9 years ago was because of the Dakota Access Pipeline, you know, Standing Rock, and all the misinformation and that was going on there. I mean, Wendy and I would be there, and then we'd hear reports that were totally incorrect for what we saw with our lying eyes, my goodness. And so we are all about supporting our water protectors and supporting Mother Earth and Father Sky here on Native Roots Radio. And that's a thing that I like to bring up, that this is where we're coming from, and this is not good, and we need to resist, divest, and join a group and run for office.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're interested in uniting for peace, justice, sustainability, and democracy, and you're around Madison, Wisconsin this weekend, January 11th and 12th, definitely check out what's going on at the Wisconsin State Capitol for that unity gathering. That'll be from 9 to 4 p.m. each Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, our prayers are out to California, Haley. And one of the things that was really interesting is that I keep on seeing reports of our relatives going to help with this fire. And, you know, it's the Navajo Scouts fire attack crew is headed to California, and they're there now. Yeah. The devastation there is unbelievable. And we have, like, I mean, among all the people that are being affected by this smoke, fire burning their houses down, We have like 250 Ho-Chunk relatives that at least live out in California. I know California's a big state, and I'm trying to find if any of our relatives are being affected by this. So prayers out to everyone in California and Ho-Chunk, and kudos to the Navajo Scouts fire attack crew that's headed out there, that is there right now.
Yeah, definitely. Got to keep our Sage Up tobacco down for our relatives out there in California and our animal relatives.
Yeah, definitely. And Wendy will talk about that later today. Yeah. So locally here in the Twin Cities, we have a Dakota Winter Teaching in Indigenous Artistry at the Wazee Winter Wind Celebration. And that's at Battle Creek Winter Rec Area in St. Paul, and it's 11 to 4, and that's something that maybe we should send you to and report on.
I wish I could go to this. Yeah, I really wanted to go. This is Saturday, so tomorrow, January 11th in St. Paul. It's the, Dakota Winter Teachings. It'll be fun. I know there's going to be artists like Marlena Miles, who's been on the show, Heather Fridelli, mm-hmm. Tinga Tuin, and more for this dynamic event, blending Dakota ancestral teachings with a modern Indigenous creativity twist. I know there'll be outdoor and indoor activities, so if it's a little too cold this weekend, there will be stuff indoors to do that honor tradition, artistry, and the joy of winter. There'll be snow sculpting, snowshoe making, cordage crafting with Fern Renville Indigenous Winter Market, also with over 20 vendors. So all that extra holiday cash, if you need to spend it, it's burning a hole in your pocket, go support some Native artists there. This will be Battle Creek Winter Rec Area, 75th Winthrop Street in St. Paul on Saturday. That'll be fun. I know they're going to have free cross-country skiing and kick sledding. We might need a little bit more snow for that, but that sounds fun. I wish I could go. Unfortunately, I will be out of town.
Yes, so we'll be in New York, and we're going to go. Two things we're going to do definitely in the city, and one of them is at the PAC Theater, where we saw Between Two Knees. There's a Native American, I believe, comedian that's going to be there, and she was brought up in Brooklyn amongst all these Italians, and she probably have a good perspective as a Native in front of all these Italians. So that'll be fun. Yeah, it does. And then, of course, we're going to go to the Vikings bar in Manhattan Sunday night and watch the
awesome.
Vikings.
Full Vikings.
Right on. Hey, good luck, Packers and Skol Vikings. And up next, we're going to have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, on with some updates over this long holiday. And we'll have to reevaluate that for next year, maybe do 3 weeks. Oh, wow. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do, and I love that tagline. Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, and it's been a long time. A lot of things have happened in the last couple of weeks that we took off. And I know, December 26th, anniversary of the hanging of the 38 plus 2 in Mankato. I made it down there. I try to make it down there every year. And, Wounded Knee, the tragic where the U.S. troops, December 29th, 1890, fired upon Native Americans and it's leaving 200 dead. And we have a lot of history, but as Dr. Stately mentioned about his nephew, and I feel like he's our nephew, we have a lot of good things going on too.
Yeah. He's the community's nephew, He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So makes me proud that he wants to work in the community. I think his grandmother would, she's dancing in heaven, really excited about that.
That's huge.
Yeah. So did you have a good Christmas or a good holiday, winter holiday break? I'm calling it winter solstice.
Well, it was interesting. One of my daughters, the actor, she got sick.
I saw Christmas. Her.
You saw the play? Yeah.
I saw the play, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was really.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. It was brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, Deanna, you know, she was saying AI and these stories really helped her out because I went, this is an amazing play. And people don't know we're talking about my my weeha Jaleesa McKee, my oldest daughter, was in a radio show turned podcast later on with nine acts, and I saw it, or 10 acts, and I saw both nights, and amazing crew, and I just loved it.
Oh my God, it was amazing. It was just wonderful. You know, I didn't have a date to go on that last night. It was showing. I went by myself, and it was amazing. I had a great time. Bar a couple of little snafus where I had to, like, you know, I had to be a little bit of a native auntie to the person that was sitting next to me, tell them to be quiet. Just kidding. No. But I had an elder moment where I just kind of like did this thing, like. they got the word. It was a white lady, so. But on the Blood Quantum Physics, that was an amazing, amazing play, and I was so happy to be there. And I remember Brianna Yazzie introduced, you know, she's the artistic director for New Native Theater. She starts out by telling people, like, you know, we're recording this for a podcast, and it's going to be in 10 parts, and that she was saying, and we want you to laugh, and we want you to participate, and we want you to, like, so I, you know, of course, I took, like, you know, poetic justice from that person, that direction. I was like, I was laughing, and I was like, making commentary.
Oh,
I probably went a little overboard, but, you know, they could just edit me right out. So, you know, anyway, but it was really amazing. So, yeah.
High quality, and we really get it.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
And I say this every time, I'm like pleasantly surprised, and I don't know, I got to stop saying that. This is a high quality theater troupe.
Yes, of course. Like, why are you, like, your daughter's in it? Why are you, like, are you that, you're surprised about that, or that she outshines you, or what?
At this age, I'm surprised to find the theater. That's probably it.
Yeah,
I think it is really amazing. You know what? I like paid. So this is how salty I am about theater right now. And I paid, like, I think $400 for tickets to go see the Book of Mormon. I think it was the week before that, or it was the week. Yeah, it was the week before it. And no, it was the night after. So I went to your daughter's production, Blood Quantum Physics, the night before on Friday, and then I went to Book of Mormon on Saturday. And I paid, you know, $35 to see the community theater thing, Blood Quantum, and then I paid $400 to go see Book of Mormon, and I was, like, unimpressed with Book of Mormon, actually, quite frankly. I was actually really shocked and surprised. It was like a Broadway production, and I was like, meh. I'm like, I'm going to spend my money in the community from now on. I'm going to invest in, like, you know, Native humor, because that was a really well done show. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they always are. Yeah.
Yeah, they always are. And I think the month before that, I saw the one about the kid one, the young one.
Yeah.
What was it called? The Wanderers, or no, I'm not the one.
Oh, the superhero. Yeah.
The superhero one.
Yeah, the superhero one, which was amazing, right? It was really good. Yeah. It was such a great production. Had a great time, like, you know. And in fact, actually, at the end of the show, I had this conversation with Rihanna, and I was like, you know, I think your next superhero show should be involve elder superheroes.
A radio show.
Yeah, a radio show. The elder superheroes. Yeah. Named Robert and Dr. Stately. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, probably Dr. Stately first. Oh no, that's right. I'm older than you.
It'll always be too, just so you know.
Oh, geez. Well, you know, just to change the subject just a little bit, you know, we, when we're in New York, which we spend a lot of time in New York, we only go now to off-Broadway plays.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be doing the same thing because I just was like so disappointed.
Yeah. The quality's there and the tickets are reasonable and these people are doing it for the love of it. They're not doing it.
Yeah. And I remembered, so I was, you know, they, so, you know, I'm not saying this to brag, but like they had reached out to me to see if I would be in that production. And so here's the thing that was really salty about it. The reason I said I couldn't do it was because I would miss that Saturday night that I had to do the Book of Mormon. And I was sitting there in the Book of the Mormon watching the show, and they had moments where it was okay. And I was like, some of it was a little off color. Like you could tell, like, okay, this play was written way before 2020 and way before George Floyd's murder. And, you know, some of it was just like, you know, we're at a different place now as a society around what's tenable in terms of, you know, humor or, you know, comments we make about people of color. And I was like, this is just off color, and I was not having a good time. And I was salty that I had given up not being in that performance, not committing to doing that, not being able to see the second half of it, because I saw the first half, I didn't see the second half. And I was like, and I was pissed I spent $400. And I was like,
yeah.
Anyway, what am I allowed to say pissed on the radio? I think I am, yeah.
I don't know. Patrick will beep it out if you don't. He listens to the show. Like some producers, not Patrick and not
not
oh, Haley or doesn't listen. Haley doesn't listen to the show. No,
I don't.
Brett or people listen to the show and they'll beep you out real easy.
Yeah, but I found that production really inspiring, and I thought, you know what? I used to be a creative writer. I think I probably could come up with something. So I think I'm gonna try to give it a shot.
Well,
at some point, not right away, not late, you know, not like tomorrow or next week.
It's interesting. I don't know if Rihanna plays the fishing game, but she told me the exact same thing. She wanted me in this play.
I think there were roles that you probably would have had the perfect voice for one of them. And then she had written, you know, I've known Deanna forever. You know, I knew her dad and her mom. We were all kind of young. We all grew up together on the Ave many, many years ago. And Deanna and I have our own little, you know, relationship. But she's a remarkable young woman. You know, just, you know, I think of her as a daughter, you know, as a niece daughter, you know, and I just, you know. And so she said, what they said to me was like, Rihanna says, there's a part in here that I think is written sort of kind of that was inspired a little bit by you. And I was like, what's their name? Like Dr. Sagewell or something like that. And I was like, oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord.
Sagewell. I said,
well, thank God. Thank God that they didn't name him Dr. Longwin, which is what my staff call me because I talk to him.
Yeah. No, I can't remember what did they talk about the colon? I can't remember. Was that brought up in this?
Oh, the rolling colon, maybe. Yeah, like you know, everybody knows how much I love that colon. If I had to love a colon, it might as well be that one. But it's just hysterical, like that. You know, you find those out. Opportunities, those moments when you sort of see reflections of yourself. I felt that way about that one play that happened at the Franklin Avenue and about the theater, about the clinic. Yeah. You know, when the wrecking ball comes through the clinic wall, I was like, hey, this is just a little too close to home. And they got water all over myself because I was in the second row. I was like, I was like, yeah, this is just a little too close to home here. Are they poking fun at my clinic? You know, that's, but I'll give them the end.
So. Well, it's good that they are poking fun because it's so well known. And
Oh, for sure. And my mother used to tell me, my mother, you know, she worked in the community for a really long time. She was like, you know, she said, I remember her telling me one time, she goes, worry when they stop talking about you.
Yeah. I think I'm a little worried right now with my other job. But hey, that's another story and another show. Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I talk about you all the time, by the way. So, you know, You're getting a lot of publicity free on the avenue anyway, at least.
It's got some juice going on, as Wendy Hogan would say. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks for starting out the good new year with us, and congratulations. And really, big peeny geegy, the show wouldn't be what it is without great guests like you, and I mean that sincerely.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love being here. So happy new year, everyone. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
Hey, who we got next there, Haley?
Hey, we're going to have Rayette Peltier from the American Indian Family Center join us.
We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Winter is here. Ramsey County winter warming spaces are open every night between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. now through March. These spaces are available to anyone in need of a place to warm up overnight. If you or someone you know need a place to warm up overnight, call 651-266-1035 between 5 p.m. and 5 a.m. That's 651-266-1035. To find out more, visit ramseycounty.us/warming spaces.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. Great to have you on. A lot going on. Looking forward to what's happening with Native American Community Development Institute this year. What do we have cooking in the next year? And I know we have a lot of things happening in the gallery, and just a lot of cool things. And we
there
always have
is, and we appreciate your support and the promotion of the current show at All My Relations Arts Gallery, Everyone Dances, how it's translated, curated by Josie Hoff. And that's closing soon, by the end of this month. And so it's a great exhibit. If you haven't seen it, I'd really encourage you there to attend. And there's been a lot of community programming around this show, so there isn't going to be a huge sort of send-off as we close it. But again, I encourage you to come and see it. And then at the end, towards the end of February, we'll be debuting a show by artist Rory Wakeemup, who is a former All My Relations Arts Gallery director. And he is very much an activist artist, and especially around environmental issues. And this is a sort of Star Wars-based kind of work that he's has had a through line through his artist career for maybe the last decade or more. And that's going to be stunning, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely, Roar. Definitely. That's really exciting to hear.
Right. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, we take a little breather right towards the end of the year. But our Four Sisters Urban Farm is expanding, both in its physical footprint, but also in its influence and activities. And we are really establishing a medicine garden down at our Four Sisters Urban Farm this year. It's a partnership with our county here, Hennepin County, and they're supporting it very generously, and I appreciate that. And they're letting sort of the native voices lead, and so that's going to be big. We're starting our entrepreneurial training for our Four Sisters Farmers Market vendors and beyond, and it's not just limited to Native people, but if people want to go to the NACDI website or NACDI or Four Sisters Farmers Market Facebook page, there we'll accept people until it's full, right? And so so that's going on as we prepare. And then in Minneapolis, we have municipal elections this year. There's a stretch where we have elections every year for 7 years. And I think we're now on the fourth year of that. And so although it's at a very different scale of than a national election, these local elections are important, right? And these are some of the decisions that impact our communities the most directly. And so putting strategies together and to engage Native folks and our allies in promoting our issues here at the municipal level. And as we know, local elections matter, right? Congratulations, Robert, as a Ramsey County resident on having your first ever Native person serve on the Ramsey County Commission.
Yeah, that is just awesome.
Yeah, she was just sworn in, Commissioner Miller.
Kelly Miller.
Kelly is good people, and it was great. And she, congratulations, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of access. I was actually in communication with one of my Metropolitan Council colleagues. I serve on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council now. And she was asking why there's so much sort of going on with Native communities in Minneapolis and Hennepin County and through the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, and we're not seeing that in other communities. And some of that has to do with the access that we've had, right? And we have very formally defined relationships between local government and the local Native community here. And I'm very excited to see what Commissioner Kelly Miller in Ramsey County can do to promote sort of that kind of relationship building between Ramsey County government and our Ramsey County Native relatives.
Yeah, really exciting. And now what are you going to be up to? I know we jokingly talk about this, but we're getting up in that age and we need to find our people to take over for us. And I know you're in 16, 17 groups that are representing Native Americans, and you know, a big deal. It's really a big deal. And I know I'm involved with the Met Council, and I know you are really involved with the Met Council. And these are really good things that we normally aren't involved in.
Right. And so thanks for that. Thanks for your service. And I intend to put some energy toward trying to build out this new, whatever it'll be, collaborative unit of multi-jurisdictional government to support our unsheltered relatives and our relatives who are living in opioid use. And like I said earlier, a Native person is 37 times more likely to be unsheltered in our region than a white person. A Native person is 33 times more likely to die from an opioid overdose. And so when you see those disparate impacts, and to me, that's where you put your resources, right? You can make the most progress toward creating a more equitable region by putting your resources where the need is greatest and engaging the voices of those most impacted. And so following this meeting that I was talking about today, we're already working to put that together. And it's been a little disappointing to see how little progress we've actually made since the Wall of Forgotten Natives in 2018. And, you know, I give credit where credit's due. The city's trying to do its work. The counties are trying to do their work, the region and the state, and they're improving how they do things internally. But there just isn't the cross-jurisdictional collaboration that we need. And we need to step in. And my big point at this large multi-jurisdictional meeting on Tuesday was it's a leadership thing at this point. Leadership needs to step in and prioritize Native people. And as we said at this meeting, we just don't feel like we're important to anyone. Mm. And we're nobody's priority. And I think I might have got a little hot-headed and said something like, you know, this is the continuation of genocide. This is what genocidal strategies look like in the 21st century. Right, our people are dying at frightening numbers because they're living without shelter and they're living without support through opioid use. And so we need to do things differently. And at this point, so few leadership in the non-Native world are willing to step into that conversation because it's going to cost us something to do it. And I make the argument that if we just better collaborated, combined, and leveraged the resources we're spending to respond to all this, and whether it's putting out fires in encampments or dealing with the issues of opioid addiction or others, if we just better collaborated and leveraged those resources, we'd actually be making measurable progress that we could see. But since each area is working independently, we're just burning resources off. It's kind of like talking about the investing in addressing climate change. Yes, yeah. It's expensive, but the cost is great. If you don't do it, it's kind of the same here. Yes, it's expensive, but the cost is great. And really, some incredible direction comes from the Native community. We've been engaging in very formal way in creating strategies for short-term, mid-term, long-term solutions. And I think the whole system would benefit from listening to us.
Yeah, definitely. And Haley, you were talking about an article that came up, and I don't know if you wanted to mention that real quick, because that is really what Robert's talking about.
Yeah, this was really disappointing to see. Indigenous.tv is great about putting stuff out like this on Instagram. We were talking about the wildfires in California, and Fox News reporter Jesse Waters is blaming Indians, quote, for the spread of wildfires. And I'm assuming this, I've heard a lot about activists and Native communities out there breaking down the dams and freeing the rivers again on tribal lands and ancestral territory. And he pretty much is blaming the Indians, quote, for the lack of water resources needed to put out the wildfires.
Right, that indigenous food sources were prioritized. I've heard a couple different versions of the story as well. You know, that it was for, but it was the reservoirs were drained to allow for indigenous fishing and things like that. And that's quite a fact, right? The reservoirs weren't drained for any reason. They were drained because firefighters were using so much water to combat the fires, and then people lower ground were taking water, and so people upper ground weren't getting it. It's really the failure of the system. But I agree with you, Haley. I saw that as well, that to see water stuff, and I just thought it was so disappointing. But we're easy targets, right? Blame the Indians.
Well, and that's what's really great about having guests like you that come on and speak the truth and knowledge, and let our allies out there and our relatives out there really know what's going on. And that's a really, you know, it's kind of a pause here about how important the things that you say on Native Roots Radio gets out there. And it's really been a great 8 years and going on 9 years now. And, you know, talking, if it was up to me and I was babbling by myself, this would not be going on for 9 years.
I've been at a couple events just this week where people have said, oh, you're Robert Lilligren. As soon as I heard your voice, I recognized it from Native Roots Radio. I bet I had four events where I was at where people recognized me from here. And that they actually listened. So sometimes it's hard to tell if we're attracting any listeners or not, but people are listening, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys and Robert and Haley, what you've done. This is no small task to be able to bring something like this together. And you really do a huge service for the community. You're everywhere in the community. You're really lifting up a lot of good work, and I give you a lot of credit for that.
Well, I appreciate it, and ditto to you. And we'll keep doing this. And thank you so much, Robert, for coming on always. And really, it means a lot to us and to our listeners, because we hear, too, about people listening and how great the guests are. So, good, big peeny gigi. We'll see you next week.
Miigwech, gigo waba, man.
This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
We are Halusa Nation. We are Halusa Nation.
Halusa Nation.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. And here is Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish with a couple updates from over the last 2 weeks while we were on break.
Ha Matakiape. It is State Senator Mary Kunish here with you today. It's a chilly, chilly day in Minnesota. Cold with no snow, which is so unbelievable that we are here in the beginning of January 9th, and we have no snow on the ground, or little to no snow on the ground. It is definitely an indicator of the change in our global climate. And I'm not sure how we will ever get the snow back the way we had, or the way that I remember as a kid, walking through thigh-high snow and being able to, you know, go outside and build snow forts and go sledding, all of those things. But Minnesota is way behind on its snowfall, and I have to say, for me, I'm missing it quite a bit. I want to wish you all a happy new year and all the best in this new year. I had a great holiday season with my family and my grandchildren and the extended family. Unfortunately, for some of us, it wasn't me, but some of us ended up with all kinds of illnesses, from COVID to the flu to shingles. And so just want to remind all of you how important it is that you get your annual inoculations against these things. I will admit that until last year, I never got a flu shot and was always a little leery about getting any of these inoculations, but I have come to realize the value of it. I had a sister that got a terrible case of shingles, and then she kind of recuperated and had 2 good days, and then came down with a bad case of COVID. And we want to make sure that that's not the case, especially when we recognize how vulnerable our American Indian population is to so many of these viruses. You know, it wasn't so long ago that we were in the thick of a COVID pandemic, where our community, our American Indian community, saw probably 4 times the necessary care related with complications related to COVID, whether it's from asthma, diabetes, heart disease, homelessness, poor diet. And we saw twice as many deaths in our community as other populations. And so I would hope that you would all get out there and get those vaccinations as best you can. I know my local grocery store has a pharmacy, and they were able to get me in pretty quickly and get that done before our legislative session starts. But also think about your children. I know there is a big movement against vaccinating children, but when we, like my generation, I remember when we would get terrible cases of chicken pox. Whooping cough is coming back, and that's actually a killer. Measles, mumps, rubella, all of those are really serious health issues when it comes to our youngest. And remember, they are our next generation. We want to make sure that they have the opportunity to be healthy and happy throughout their life. And if this is one thing we can do, I hope that you would all suggest it. Again, I realize there are those that are not comfortable with vaccinations, but let's make sure that we are taking the best care of each other as we possibly can. It's the 9th of September, 9th of January, and that means that the Minnesota State Legislature will begin in less than a week. We are scheduled to begin on January 14th, but this year is unusual. And we always think that each year is going to be a little unusual for whatever reasons. But this session is going to be very, very unusual because of the status of both the House and the Senate as far as the distinction of who is in the majority and who is not in the majority. In the Senate, we have lost one of our very, very beloved members, Carrie Dietzick, who was a state senator for a number of years, represented Northeast Minneapolis and a bit of Southeast Minneapolis, passed away. She was battling cancer for the last 2 years, and we just very recently lost her, which means that we need to have a special election. And that special election won't be done until the end of the month of January. But in the meantime, that leaves the Senate in an even category, even number of state senators for the DFL, the Democrats, and even number of Republicans. And so there is a discussion about will we or how will we share the leadership positions without disrupting the committees, without disrupting the leadership of our committees and the work that we do over here. And that's even, we know the outcome, where we can assume the outcome that the Democrats will take the majority again on the 28th when we are after the election on the 28th. But that's not the case that's happening over in the Minnesota House of Representatives, where they are debating who actually is in the majority. The House Republicans plan to exercise their rights as being in the majority on the first day. And this all stems from, again, a special election where a member of the DFL party was found to not be a resident of the district that he was elected into, and so he could not be seated in the Minnesota House, which leads, again, to a special election that will take place on the 28th. And then there is a discussion about the validity, even though the courts have decided that the Democrat from Shakopee actually won the election after reviewing the votes from, I believe, 20 ballots that had been thrown away, and it was determined that Brad Tapke actually was the winner, but the Minnesota Republicans in the House do not see it that way. And so they plan to enforce or force a power-sharing agreement. And so we'll see how that happens. I know that the Minnesota House members are at odds as to how this is all going to play out, but the Democrats, in a press conference earlier this week, the Speaker, Melissa Hortman, said that the DFL members aren't planning on being at the Capitol on the first day of the legislative session if Republicans don't honor their power-sharing agreement that was negotiated after November 5th election. So they actually did negotiate and come to an agreement on power-sharing, and that looks like each committee will have a Democrat as a chair and a Republican as a chair, and they will share the process of governing over their committees. So that would mean that the Democrats would have the hearing, would be in charge of the hearing on one day in the committee, and Republicans the next, and they would have to find a way to come together at the end to find agreement on legislation that we will pass. At the end of the day, we all wonder how this is all going to play out. I think we all have to manage our expectations as far as what and how much will get passed. But it is a budget year, and it is important that we put a budget out there for the state of Minnesota for the best of our constituents. And that's exactly what we as Democrats plan to do, both in the House and in the Senate. But how that all plays out, we just won't know. And so it will be, as we all say, a very interesting session, one we haven't seen quite before like this. But just know that we'll all be doing the very best that we can to make sure that we're representing our constituents in the very best way possible. So I think we need to take a break right now, and I'll be back just as soon as we're done with our break. Wopi Latanka.
Thank you, Mary. Great update. All right, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this quick break with more updates from Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish.
KFAI is pleased to present a dual album release show with hardcore horror enthusiasts Wolf Mask and New Death Dealer's Caustic Abyss, Saturday, January 18th at the Turf Club in St. Paul. With support from Cobra Czar, Necrotisk, and Den of Thieves, this show is guaranteed to be more fun than a night down at the sewage plant. Tickets for Wolf Mask, Caustic Abyss, Cobra Czar, Necrotisk, and Den of Thieves are available now at First Avenue's website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howling.
My wolf sounded hurt.
Oh, hopefully not.
Get something in my foot. Oh, hey, I want to introduce co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and we're on our ninth season, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. It started as a little grasshopper, right, when you were little?
I don't remember the first time I started with that. I know I've always loved animals. I've always had a really deep connection with
animals. Didn't want to eat meat when you were little,
That's
too.
That's right, yeah, from a very young age, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were stubborn, and people didn't know that that was a thing back
when
in
I was
the day.
Older. My mom apologized to me for torturing me. Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. I'm really looking forward to getting started here in 2025 to see what we can get done.
Yeah.
You know, the Humane Society of the United States does things locally, does things nationally, and also worldwide. So
it was a dramatic pause.
It is. Wow. I had a little hiccup. Worldwide.
It wasn't spit.
No,
that's good.
Totally not. So in 2024, the Humane Society of the United States took many actions to help animals.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's hear them.
Okay. So they provided services to over 16,200 pets in core communities and sent 440 truckloads of pet food and supplies to 46 states and Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yeah. They do a lot of good work.
Wow.
So like the wildfires in LA, if an area or a state is having a really big problem, they call on the Humane Society of the United States. The Humane Society doesn't just go in there and, you know, take over and start helping animals. They have to be asked to come and work with our, you know, people and help us. I think California has a really good
branch.
I think that they have lots of people there that are doing the work. But if they do need the Humane Society of the United States, they will call on them. You know, and then they go in with their vans and their volunteers and their veterinarians and, you
not,
know.
Not to be confused with the tennis shoe and the skateboard.
What is that?
The vans.
Oh, right. Vans.
Oh, exactly. The shoe.
Yeah. So what else do they do? Promoting humane conflict resolution. So more than 130 animal care and control organizations signed with HSUS Wild Neighbors Pledge. The HSUS also tested new translocation techniques nets for prairie dogs and created a recovery program for vultures in South Africa.
Do prairie dogs bark?
I don't know what they do, but in the area where the prairie dogs were, they had this like a little pandemic, like a prairie dog pandemic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they went in and saved as many prairie dogs as they can and relocated them. So, yeah.
I wonder if that was...
And there's a recovery program for vultures in South Africa. I'd like to read a little bit more about that. But, you know, they work worldwide.
We used to use that term vultures back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's not a good thing.
Well, I'm sure that they're needed somehow. I mean, absolutely. Everything on the planet has a use.
Absolutely.
You know, everything. So...
Maybe it was from the cartoons. I don't know.
Exactly. So HSUS defended state laws that keep unsafe products off store shelves, including Proposition 12. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. The HSUS also fought against the EATS Act, which would have weakened Proposition 12 and similar laws. So Proposition 12 means that, like in California right now, they will not get any eggs, meat, pork from any suppliers that keep their animals in confined places. Wow. Yeah.
That's huge.
Isn't that huge?
Yeah.
So, yep. And again, it really depends on who is in office and who can change these laws. You know, the farmers, the people who keep these animals in these really, you know, pigs in like these gestational crates, mm-hmm. and the pig can't move or turn around for 2 years of its life, which is really horrific. You know, it's just terrible the way these animals are treated. Mm-hmm. But Proposition 12 and the EATS Act demands that these animals are able to walk around. These animals are kept in humane, you know, situations, so they don't have to live like that. So we need to vote in people who will, you know, keep these acts protective, in place,
yeah,
because they could change at any time. Like, you know, we were talking about, you know, yesterday, our Minnesota legislators and House and everything, we don't know what's going to happen. We had a trifecta of Democrats before. Mm-hmm. So we had, you know, protection for the wolves. We had protection for, you know, these animals. And now that the chairs are, you know, the seats are changing, mm-hmm. The protections for the animals will also change. So you have to really look into, you know, what you care about and who you want to put into office.
And look out, Canada.
Look out. Oh, my God. I can't even. Exactly. Okay. This is one thing that we've worked on. And, you know, I've worked on for a really long time, preventing the sale of puppy mill dogs.
Yes.
The Humane Society of the United States helped pass laws in California, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, New York, Oregon, and Washington that prohibit the sale of dogs and cats in pet stores.
Yes.
Now, these whole states, we're trying to get Minnesota to be on that list, but we're going like city to city. We got St. Paul, we got Eden Prairie, we got Carver, we got, you know, I don't know, I think
Bemidji?
Not Bemidji. Cloquet.
That's French.
Yeah. So we've gotten a lot of the cities, and we're keep working on more and more and more. So that's something that's right, you know, near and dear to my heart, is preventing the sale of puppy mill dogs, because we had a puppy mill dog, Gracie, who we talked about her for a million years, she was a puppy mill breeder dog who was kept in an indoor facility. And she was there, just her main purpose,
7 years.
For 7 years, just pumping out puppies to be sold in pet stores. So a responsible breeder will not have their puppies in a pet store.
Right.
They want to know who's buying them. They want to meet the family.
They want to make sure there's a picture of past dogs hanging from their wall,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. They want to make sure, they want to do a home visit. They want to make sure that, you know, their dog. This is a responsible breeder, and they're far and few between. Mm-hmm.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.